All right, welcome back to the interview segment of our live live stream here on Channel 9. A little boisterous behind us as a terrific session just ended. I'm joined by George Richardson, who's going to talk about a rather cool project that he worked on and a presentation that you gave. I'm switching from he to you now. that you gave yesterday that was rather well received. Yep. And I'd love to hear about how you got into it. I'd love to hear about the work itself, what kinds of things that, that you can share with the
sure.
community.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us about it.
Well, thanks for having me to chat.
You bet.
I don't really know how I can follow the Jupyter Labs guys.
Right,
they got
yeah.
they got multiple rounds of applause yeah. for their presentation, but I'll give it a go.
Well, people will applaud behind their screens.
Okay, yeah, they better be. So I gave a presentation yesterday on a humanitarian data science
right.
project that I've been working on with a group called Data for Democracy. So I guess how I got into that group, about a year ago, I was just finishing up my PhD, just over a year ago. I was a physicist. I spent a lot of time in a dark room playing with lasers, mm-hmm. and at some point I realized it wasn't really for me, and I wanted to work on something that was more tangible with
right,
slightly
right.
outcomes on issues that I cared about. But at the same time, I was an experimental physicist, but I'd started to learn how to code, mm-hmm. so I think it's a path that lots of people have taken. I've certainly had a similar conversation
Absolutely.
With a lot of people, and I had these experiments which would spit out a lot of CSV files, and I was going through them one by one in Excel and just thought there has to be a better way,
right,
and
right.
eventually ended up reading a book on coding, and yeah, this is how I ended up here. But I kind of, as I was, took a year out and learned how to do some data science, and but I always kept in mind that I wanted to work on some kind of social impact
right.
projects,
right.
and so when I heard about this group, Data for Democracy, that was started by Jonathan Morgan, who hosts the Partially Derivative mm-hmm. podcast, I was ready to sign up. And I started off kind of poking around the project. It's a really, so Data for Democracy, I guess I'll give a bit of background
yeah,
on that,
yeah.
is it's a very kind of loose-knit collective group of data scientists or data engineers, developers, or just kind of data enthusiasts. And it's who want to work on projects with a social or civic or environmental impact. And it's just a big Slack team and a shared GitHub repository with people kind of coming and going and contributing to code and building tools and working on projects. So I kind of dabbled in a few of the things that were going on there. And then there was a call out from the UN through Unite Ideas, which is kind of an innovation wing of mm-hmm. the UN. Mm-hmm. And they had a competition to help the Internal Displacement Monitoring Center track internally displaced people.
Right, and you defined in your talk what internally displaced means, how it's
right.
explained.
Right, yeah, so an internally displaced person is someone who is essentially a refugee, so someone who is fleeing from conflict or disaster, mm-hmm. but they remain trapped within their own country.
Right.
They might be in flux between being a refugee or an internally displaced person, but mm-hmm. that's the definition.
And so your project worked on determining how many of these people exist,
right?
And why?
Yeah,
what the
yeah.
movement was.
So there are current efforts to monitor the situations and essentially get a figure of how many of these people there are, but the ways of doing that involve a lot of manual kind of labor. There's a lot of manual analysis of satellite images. They do some dynamic risk modeling, and then the problem we were focused on is that every day there's thousands and thousands of articles that come in that might contain reports
right.
of displacement, and these are all poured over by hand by human analysts mm-hmm. who read through them and see if they can extract numbers and
right.
figures and locations. So obviously labor intensive, and those human analysts could be doing slightly more important work.
Sounds like a job for data science.
It sounds like a job for data science. And so we were tasked with coming up with a solution to automate this process. So first to collect all these articles from the internet, and then to parse them and use some natural language processing to extract the key information from them.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what we set about doing for the last 6 months. And it was a competition, and we won the competition. Which was pretty exciting, and now we're working with the IDMC to implement our solution into their actual pipeline to help them automate this process.
So I noticed one thing in your presentation was you sort of described your own sense of fulfillment over time
mm-hmm.
as sort of plummeting a bit during your PhD
right.
physics process, and then bouncing back with the data science, and then growing through this project.
Sure.
what are you going to do next? Is there, are you going to go through more projects with Data for Democracy? Or?
So I'm a serial project taker on it.
Okay. So you've already started another project then?
Well, luckily, the IDMC liked our solution so much, they are now directly in contact with us, and we're going to work to implement that with them. So that's nice for me. It's given me something to focus on, but it's really great to actually see this go further. And actually a comment from them was that a lot of these competitions happen with, they kind of reach out, crowdsource tech solutions, but often they don't go any further. They're kind of a proof of principle, something that can, they can show off. But these guys are really determined to implement this and want us on board.
Well, so let's talk just a little bit about the technical details, and then let's wrap up in the time we have before our next session, talking a little bit about ways to get more involved and find some of these socially impactful, impactful project. So the technical bits, from what I gleaned from your talk, was a lot of processing of newspaper articles, wire service, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so you're looking for key terms. You've got some recognition of. I think you mentioned there was a differentiation between natural disasters and conflict.
Sure.
One question I had is how did you deduplicate, essentially? I mean, if you have multiple newspapers covering the same topic, you're going to wind up with redundancy.
Right. It's not actually something we had to tackle with the data set that we were given, but it's something that we did give some thought to. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways that this could happen. You can have reports that are just carbon copies of each other that just happen to get posted and copied around the internet. And that's fine, and I think we just have to find a way to check that
a report isn't word for word.
It's also nice to know that those things are being reported through multiple channels. There's also this idea that you want to look at the reporting as well as just looking at the situations on the ground. But it's also useful if those articles are, if those displacement events are described in different articles written independently, because then you actually have corroboration.
Sure.
So that's something that we're actually, one of the next phases is to bring that into the data, the workflow, and see if we can actually use multiple articles to do that.
Okay, well, given this is PI data, what kind of tools did you use?
So we used a mixture of kind of traditional NLP to classify the articles and to extract the key information from them, such as like NLTK, a kind of linguistic approach. But we also doubled that up and we used some ensembling with the more current techniques, some kind of word-to-vec methods, some more numerical approaches to NLP. So we tried to kind of bring together a bunch of different tools. We used some scikit-learn and some Spacey and a little bit of everything that's out there in the
Python. Yeah, and we don't have, of course, time to go through all of that, but your talk, which was recorded, we'll have that, and your slide deck that's downloadable.
Yeah, that's
we'll
online.
Also have that, have those as notes. All right, well then let's see where this leads into. What can the community do to find these kinds of projects and help out? I love the idea of having an impact, you know, socially or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's so important that we use the skills we have to work in some of these areas which are so devoid of this kind of technology. I mean, I'm fairly new to the scene and we didn't do anything mega sophisticated, but it's having a massive impact and it just shows that if anybody in these rooms came to do that, it could be massive.
Sure.
I mean, I had a couple of slides in my talk about doing this. I think I reached out to the wider Data for Democracy community to kind of crowdsource a bit on what they thought made good projects and how to get people involved. I think finding partnerships and domain expertise is really important. There's a ton of organizations out there who you could just reach out to and say, hey, I've got these skills. What kind of problems do you have? And there's no guarantee it'll be a perfect match, but people are always willing to talk. And then finding a community is probably the second most important thing. I think Data for Democracy, there's Code for America, there's lots of cities have their open civic communities, civic tech communities, and we have Data for Democracy, which people are more than welcome to come and sign up to.
Sure. Yeah. And I think if we just search on that term, we'll find it.
You'll find it,
Okay. Tips, tricks, things to avoid as far as the project went and as far as your involvement's gone?
I think the most challenging thing for us was we were all people who'd worked on our own data science projects, and kind of developing a collaborative GitHub workflow. It's the first time for many of us that we've done that was a real challenge.
I don't think that's unique to data science. I don't think that's unique to public-facing projects.
So we kind of had some haphazard path at the start, but we kind of got there in the end on the technical front. And then I think in terms of the project, just the kind of it's a messy data problem. It's, you know, articles from all over the world flooding in different ways, terrible English, and all kinds of ways of describing displacements and disasters. It was challenging.
Let's touch on that piece for a moment. You mentioned, shall we say, various levels of English proficiency. Mm-hmm. Were all the articles that you were scraping in English?
They were. Yeah.
Any plans to expand that to other languages?
It's going to have to expand to other languages. Yeah, but we're going to have to work with people whose job it is to analyze these articles to get that far. And
I think the UN probably has a few domain experts.
They've
there.
Got a couple of translators. I've heard. Yeah.
Only one of those little earpieces. All right. Well done, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much.
Let's go and look at the recordings, and we're going to continue with the rest of our live stream for today. So cool. Have a good conference.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. You too.